So the topic of this first talk is on catalyst to change. As we all know, everything changes. And often changes involve transitioning. A change occurs in a moment. Take, for example, a promotion. One day you are working as a case manager at a social service agency, and you're in the, let's say, the youth development department. And later in the day, you're called to the director's office, where the director offers you the promotion to be the program manager of youth development. If you accept the promotion, your life has changed, right? And a transition begins. The transition occurs over time. It's a period of adjustment, psychological, behavioral, intellectual, physical. It's a time you need to settle into your new norm, a time to develop new skills, become knowledgeable, become maybe even more competent, a little more competent at your new job. In the example of being promoted, you're letting go of being a case manager who focuses on helping individual clients or families deal with some issue in their lives. And you're moving toward and starting to manage people, to manage a staff, helping clients, managing a staff, managing a budget, going to numerous bureaucratic meetings and politicking with your fellow managers. None of that is like working with clients. So you have to learn, transition, develop or enhance some skills. Depending on your skill set, the types of relationship you had with your colleagues who are now your reportees, and what you really enjoy, this period of being a program manager will be a mixed bag for you. There will be gains and losses and experiences that are pleasant and unpleasant. So, who in this room are going through some change or transition right now? Just raise your hand. Online as well. Okay. The question is, what caused the change to happen? What provoked it? Philip Moffitt talks about three catalysts of change. In chemistry, a catalyst is something, some compound that drives a chemical reaction between or among other compounds. It's the thing that makes the reaction happen. And sometimes when it's happening, a reaction is happening slowly. You put in a catalyst to speed up the process. As a metaphor, a catalyst in human life is a powerful event or person that initiates, provokes, or speeds up a significant change. Think about Gaza and Israel. What was the catalyst for these two nations going to war? It was a bombing. There was an uneasy peace that was maintained until one of the nations bombed in the other and the other one decided to retaliate, and you had a war. That's a significant change. A catalyst is a very powerful source, force. It can make things happen quickly. In chemistry, it can also do that in human experience. In human experience, there are three catalysts, main types of catalysts. One is an external event. Another is the milestones in normal human development. And the third is the internal growing of internal awareness within individuals. So I'm going to walk you through the three of them, beginning with external events, especially those that are unexpected or beyond our control. During the last month, we have been reminded of the unexpected, the natural disasters have on the lives of individuals, have we not? These natural disasters include not only fires, but flooding, mudslides, earthquakes, and more. These disasters are major catalysts. COVID-19 was a major catalyst. Workplaces shifted from office buildings to our homes. K-12 education shifted from school buildings to our homes. And numerous businesses folded. These are major catalysts and changes. And the ones associated with what I just said, COVID-19, disasters, and businesses that close, none of these things are pleasant. But, you know, an external event can be either pleasant or unpleasant, right? You don't know necessarily what it's going to be. It depends on the circumstances of the situation. Let's say that your company hires a new manager for your division. Is that a pleasant or unpleasant? Is that going to be pleasant or unpleasant to work under a new manager? You really don't know at the beginning, right? It depends on not only what the manager does, but also whether or not you agree or align with what he does. So you get a manager who is my way or the highway. okay? Generally, I would feel put off. But sometimes there could be a surprise. The rules or the goals he has or the programs he put in place may actually be a benefit to you as a staff person. You can see in what he is doing or proposing an opportunity for you to advance. So under those conditions, having that type of manager could be a benefit for you, pleasant experience. But it assumes that you get something out of it, right? So that what I've talked about is a little bit about external changes. I want to go to the second catalyst, the developmental milestones and stages in adulthood. And broadly speaking, there are four. Very broadly speaking, there is late teens and early adulthood. There is the 20s and 30s. There's the 40s and 50s. And then there's the 60s and beyond. Remember, these are stages in a human life. We all experience them. There's a predictability about them. So it is possible, unlike with external changes, for us to anticipate these changes and plan for them. But we don't always do that, right? In late teens and early adulthood, individuals may be mostly exploring intimate relationships, pursuing adventure, work, or school, or maybe they're just living on their own for the first times in their lives. Those are catalysts for change. In their 20s, they might be, and 30s, they might be exploring a committed, intimate relationship. Or they might be thinking about having children or not. In their 40s and 50s, the meaning of life becomes a stronger inquiry. The question, is this all that life is? Is this all there is to life? Arises at some point. Or the other way to say it is, some people go through midlife crises, 40s and 50s. Other challenges is learning how to parent teens, or your children start leaving home. And when the last child leaves, some people experience what's called the empty nest syndrome. And still, some people in this phase experience having to not only take care of their children or teens, but figure out how to care for their aging parents. They're in a squeeze. All of this kind of stuff and more can happen in your 40s and 50s. And then in the 60s and beyond, if you haven't been seriously thinking about retirement, you're in trouble and you need to think about it and figure out what you're going to do. Other questions could be, you know, contemplating what your legacy is, or really coming to terms with your mortality. All these things happen in every human life in a predictable way. There's some flexibility, but there is predictability. And these changes can cause frustrations. The last change is your growing inner awareness or growing desire for authenticity within individuals. This can come in three forms. One is, you know, you get clearer about what your values are. What's really important to you? Is it work or family? Is it wealth or justice? Is it marriage or independence? Is it creativity or financial security? When you get clearer about what is really important to you, you may make shifts in your lives. Another catalyst or type of catalyst in this area is loss of confidence. You know, or you might struggle with something or fail something, and over time you lose your confidence and you have to deal with that. Or you begin to feel that life is meaningless, and that impacts how you engage life. And then the third area is a paradigm shift or a shift in insight due to your meditation, prayer life, if that fits, some of the things you're reading or other practices. As Deb indicated, when I found out about the Four Noble Truths, I made the final switch or cut with, well, is it final? Well, anyway, I made a major cut with Christianity, and I now consider my main practice to be Theravada Buddhism. That is significant for me, because now I have to explain myself to my family. So, I want to conclude by saying that these catalysts can function independently to evoke change, but they also can work together, synergistically. And my example of that is in 2018, I made a major change in what I did for a living. The first catalyst was an external event. I lost my job. I got laid off, in fact, and that bummed me out. And it does, I guess it does most people, but I lost my management job. When I began looking for another job, I had to face a life stage reality. I was 60-something, so the odds of my getting another management job was pretty slim. You know, I was too close to retirement, and maybe there's a bit of ageism in our society. So, am I going to get another management job? And then the third thing I realized was I had changed my focus and desires in my 50s. I knew it, but I wasn't really aware of it. But in my mid-50s, I began to think, I'm working too hard. I'm not having enough fun. I'm tired of managing people. I just wanted to enjoy my life more. So my desire for achievement, and I was ambitious, got trumped by my desire to enjoy my life more. These three things, losing my job, realizing that I probably couldn't get another management job, and realizing I didn't really want to. I wanted to do something else, have a little bit more fun. As a result of all becoming aware of all those things, I refocus my job search to looking at other jobs that allow me to use my skills, but not the management skills, and to allow me to continue helping people. And I found one. I became a coordinator of a community court and resource center. No, it was a eight to five job. I got to work, did my job, and left. I didn't have to manage people, and I was still helping people who were struggling in life. In this case, I was helping offenders, those committing misdemeanor offenders who committed crimes, but they were crimes associated with, let's say, being poor. They were homeless, or they didn't have the skills for a good paying job, or they had a mental illness. So I was still fulfilling my life goals and having more fun. I'm sort of doing that still, I hope. So the loss of the job transformed into a gain of something I wanted. More time to enjoy my life and to continue helping people in crisis. Sometimes I think I really got lucky. But, you know, the way Dharma unfolds in life is a mystery. And for that, I am thankful. So, I want to close by reading a poem. It's called For a New Beginning, and it's by John O'Donohue. In out-of-the-way places of heart, where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you were ready to change. For a long time, it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness growing inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you have outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety and the gray promises that sameness whispered. It heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent and wondered, would you always live like this? Then the delight, when your courage kindled and out you stepped onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plenitude opening before you. Though your destination is not yet clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning. That is at one with your desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be home in a new rhythm for your soul senses the world that awaits you. So I want to thank you for your kind attention.